Nun Hey
Het
on Lamed Bet 58b.
So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that a person who hasn't seen his friend in 30 days recites the bracha Baruch Shechianu v'kimianu v'gianu l'zman hazeh. And if he hasn't seen him for 12 months, he says the bracha Baruch b'chayei hamitim. Blessed are you that revives the dead, Hashem. Amar Rav, Rav says, Ein ha-met mishtakeach min ha-lev. A person, a dead person, is not forgotten from the heart, ela lachash nemasah chodesh, until after 12 months. Right? Which is why only after 12 months you say that to your friend. Because you forgot him as if he was a dead person. When you haven't seen someone for 12 months, you haven't seen a dead person for 12 months. When you haven't seen your friend, it has the same type of impact. Shenema, like it says, Nishkachti kamet milev hayiti kichli oved. I became forgotten like the dead from the heart. I become like a lost vessel. Right? Well, what's the analogy between forgetting a dead person and being a lost vessel? A lost vessel, you give up thinking that you're going to find it after 12 months thereabouts. And so too, you forget about, give up on seeing this person again, person again after 12 months. Rav Papa Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, Havu Kazlei Ba'orcha. Rav Papa Rav Huna, who was the son of Rav Yeshua, were walking along the road. Pagu Beba Rav, they met Rav, Rav Hanina, Bered Rav Ika, the son of Rav Ika. Amrule, and they said to him, Bahadei Techazinach Barachinan Alach Tarte. Since we saw you, we shall make two brochas over you. The first one, Baruch Asher Chalak Mechachmato Lireyav. Blessed is the one who apportioned his wisdom to those who fear him. Right? They saw Rav Hanina, and who was a very big Talmud Chacham. So there's the bracha when you see a big Talmud Chacham, which is this bracha over here. Baruch Hashem Alak Mechachmato Lireyav. Blessed is the one who shared his wisdom with those who fear him. V'shechianu, and the second one bracha they made was Shechianu, because they hadn't seen him in 30 days. Right? And when you haven't seen your friend in 30 days, you say the Shechianu bracha. Amruhu, Amalahu, he said back to them, Ana nami kevan de chazit tinchu. Me too, I also, since I have seen you, chashvit nchu ilavei. Keshitin Rivan Beit Israel. What does he say? He says to them, Hashitu Alai, it's important to me, it's considered to me the equivalent of Shishim Ribui, 60 myriad, 600,000 of the Jewish people. Ubarachina Alehu Talata, and I'm therefore going to make three blessings over you. Which three? Hanach Tate. The first two are the ones that you just said, right? Baruch Sheh, the blessing that you shared your wisdom, right? Because they're also Tamidei Chachamim. The second bracha is, why I also haven't seen you in 30 days, so Shechianu. And the third one is, Baruch Chacham Harazim. Blessed is Hashem, the wise one of the secrets. Right? This is the bracha that a person says when he sees 600,000 Jews in one place. Right, which perhaps we could have said at the funeral of Rav Avadya, there were 600,000 Jews in one place there.
I thought it was more.
No, at least, right, it doesn't have to be exact. At least 600,000 Jews. So if you see 600,000 Jews, you can say this bracha. But in Blina, I think there were people who did say that bracha then. Sorry? There were people who said that bracha then.
I thought there were like 1.7 million at the funeral.
1.7
million.
I don't know. There's different numbers. I mean, no one stood there and counted. So everyone's guessing. So I have no idea. Ubaruch, I'm sorry. Amrule, they said to him, Achimat Kulei Hai. Is your wisdom as much as that? Yehavei Bei Enayu. They put their eyes on him, Veshachiv, and he died. What's going on? They killed him.
Huh?
They killed him. Who killed who? So let's just check and see who killed who. Right. What's going on? Rav Papa, Rav Huna, and Rav Yeshua. Three of the very big Talmidei Chachamim walking along the road. And they met Rav Hanina, the son of Rav Ika. I don't know which Rav Hanina. Maybe there's a number of Rav Haninas. I don't know which Rav Hanina this one is. They met Rav Hanina. They said to him, "We haven't seen you in 30 days, and you're a wise man. So we're going to make the two brachas. The first bracha for you being a wise man, and the second bracha for not seeing you for 30 days. He then said, you know what? I can make three brachas.
For you.
On you. Yeah. The fact that I saw you, I'm making three brachas. First one is that you're all wise men. They said, thank you very much. Second one is that we haven't seen you in 30 days. And they said, thank you very much. And the third one is, you three together are like 600,000 Jews. And I'm making a bracha. And they said, you know, can't do that. Mm-hmm. He said, you can't do that. Yeah. That's Chilul Hashem, taking Hashem's name in vain. It's very nice. It's a big compliment, mm-hmm. right, in inverted commas, that you're suggesting that we represent equal all of Am Yisrael. Mm-hmm. But we don't.
So Rabbi Hanina died.
So, well, yeah. So they gave him a disapproving look, and he died. See, you have to be careful.
Careful,
right? You see, also
using bracha properly.
Yeah, yeah. Can't just make a bracha because
you'll feel that
you feel like it, right? Which is why, if you were at the funeral of Rav Avadia, you think maybe there's 600,000 people here. You've still got to have big shoulders to decide, you know what, I'm going to make this bracha mm-hmm. in a place that may or may not be correct. Because if it's not correct, then you can't do it. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's key that I'm praising Hashem, and it's always good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Haroet ha bachakanim.
Do we skip along? After Harazim, Chacham, no, he died. Okay, Shaki. Okay,
yeah. So. Yeah, okay, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Haroet ha bachakanim. What a bachakanim. So the translation here says, strangely enough, spotted people.
Who?
Spotted.
Spotted.
What does spotted people mean? Bahak. So here, Rashi says, "Lintayelush," right, which means lentils or covered in freckles. Freckled people, according to the Mishnah Berurah, their spots of light red, but the skin between them is white. Hence, a person with this condition is called Bahakan, from the root Bahak, meaning to glisten. He shines, because his freckles stand out a lot against his white skin. So he's a Bahakanim, he's one of the Bahakanim. Mm. So if you see that, what do you say? You say, Bo'or Meshaneh HaBoyot. Blessed are you, Hashem, that you made different creatures. Right? What's the indication? The indication that he looks strange. Right, we say this bracha nowadays we say this bracha, not just when you see a person with freckles, right? When you see it, person who is not so pretty, ugly. Let's be straight. If you see an ugly individual, there's a bracha that you say to Hashem for making ugly creatures. Right, Chas v'Shalom, you shouldn't say that ugly. Everything, right, we learn from the story of Rabbi Eliezer,
right.
Rabbi Eliezer on the horse. Right, that, how ugly are you? Right, and he got berated. Right, Hashem doesn't make ugly creatures. So what does he make? He makes Meshaneh B'Habriyot, different. Meaning, just because it's you don't find it pretty, doesn't mean it's not. It's different. So you say Baruch Hashem that you make such wondrous differences between your people. Make this one tall, this one short, you make this one with an ear coming out of his nose and a nose on coming out of his forehead, like a Picasso. You make That's art, right?
Everyone has his own function and his own duties.
It's like the guy who called the Shadchan and said, "What was that woman that you sent to me? She was ugly. She had an ear coming out. Her ear was stuck in the air, and her nose was all over the place, and one eye was higher than the other, and her mouth was all crooked. What's going on?" He says, "What? You don't like Picasso?
Like what?
You don't like Picasso?" Tom, she sees there, so everyone, there's beauty in everyone. We just need to find
it. Didn't Rav Dror mention about, or someone mentioned about, someone went to a shotgun, a matchmaker, and he said what he wants is a beautiful girl in the community. Yes. And the shotgun said, "Get out, because you're not ready."
Your feet, okay. Okay, different shiur, Shabbat. Okay, Tom. Let's carry on. Meitvei, they challenged it. Challenged what? They challenged this ruling. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi said, when you see a speckled person, you say, "Boh, Mishnah Briot." That is being challenged now. We don't say that, apparently. Why not? Meitvei, challenge it from a brighter. Ra'ah et ha-kushi, if you saw a kushi, person with black skin. Ve'et ha-gichor, person with red skin. Et halavkan, person with white skin. Whitey. Et hakipeach, person who is very fat, obese. Et hananas, a dwarf. Not a nanach, a nanas. If you saw a nanach, you say something different. You say, "Rabbeinu, how are you doing?" Right? But if you see a nanas, right? Or et ha darnikus. What's a darnikus? A person who has warts. Okay? Any of those on there, what do you say? Baruch Meshaneh Tabriot. You say this bracha. Blessed is the one who makes differences in his creatures. Okay. If you saw et ha kitea. What's kitea? Kitea is a person who hands are amputated. Right? But here, kitea literally means amputee. But here it's talking about hands, because we're also going to see chiger later on, whose leg is amputated. So in contrast to the legs, the person who's got amputated legs is coming later in the list. So the word kitea normally just means amputation. So here we read it as a person whose hands are amputated. Etasuma, a blind person. Etapituye harosh, person who's got pituye harosh. That means their hair is all matted, apparently.
Massive?
Matted. His hair is densely packed together like felt. Tov, he didn't wash his hair, right? Well, Tov, it means that someone whose hair is particularly, that's the way it is. Etachiger. Again, normally leads a lame person, but here they write it as a person who's got amputated legs, not just a lame person. I guess there's a reason why they say that, because chiger normally means lame. Et hamukeh shechin, person who is smitten, makeh, he's got a makeh of shechin, right? We know that from Say the Night, shechin boils. V'et habahakanim, now we've got the bahakanim. The spotted peoples, the freckled. Omer, he says something different. He said, what do you say? Baruch Dayan Emet. Right? These things, that last list, we just had a brighter with two lists. The first list, according to this brighter, is when you say Baruch Meshaneh Habriot. Right? That's when you make different strange people from people who've got black skin, white skin, red skin, Yofi. That's the time to say Baruch Meshaneh Habriot. But if a person's got any of these, I guess what you call more serious ailments, amputated hands, they're blind, their hair's a bit messy, like really serious stuff. And if you don't think having your hair messy is serious stuff, you should speak to my daughter when she can't go to school because she has carbolet.
Huh?
Carbolet. You know what carbolet is?
No.
Carbolet is, only girls have carbolet. Right? But It means, well, what it literally means is a chicken's crest. The crest of a chicken, the hair, like the peacock, the crown of a chicken, right? But a carbullet for a girl means that when you're brushing your hair, you're putting it in a ponytail, right? And you're gathering it all together, and smoothing it down and gathering it together, smoothing it down and gathering it, smoothing it down and gathering it. And a bit sticks up. That's the worst thing in the world. And what that means is you have to usually have a tantrum for about an hour and not go to school, because I can't go to school like this, Abba. You don't understand, I can't go to school like this. No, Abba, I can't go to school like this. Right?
Thank God I didn't have to deal with that.
Someone saw my wedding picture and he said, here's a carbullet, meaning that they had a little hair up
front. A quiff.
What's the name for it, though?
A quiff.
That's what you call it in England?
I thought they called it in America. A quiff?
No.
Oh, no, I know, in England then.
When you combed your hair and you had a little...
That's called a quiff.
I don't know.
Elvis quiff.
I don't know the name for it. I've never heard of it. Oh, they had a name. Okay. I mean, I'm just grateful we had wedding pictures.
How did it go? Okay. So, and only in this second sentence here, apart from the carbullet, to be much worse ailments. Then you say Baruch Dayan Amet, and the Bahakanim is one of these bad ones that you would say Baruch Dayan Amet. So that's, therefore, it's a challenge to Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi.
Pompadour.
Okay, curves his hand, pompadour.
You use that in England too?
No, I learned it from my Billy Joel song.
Who?
Billy Joel. He's Jewish. You might have forgotten that, but he is. We should send his God in the Buddha. We should send all these famous people.
Who?
Jewish God in the Buddha. Send it to the Aidens. I might get some. Tom, anyway, Reuven, good morning. We're learning brachot. It's definitely a good morning.
And we're back in the podcasting.
Are we going to have to start dancing? Are we going to dance? Yes, we're going to have to dance?
I need
quiet. Quiet, sorry, because otherwise we're going to... Never.
No, we need to sing like in Rav Dror's class.
Hashem loves you very much. He told me just now to tell you. Okay. Lokasha. Lokasha. It's not a contradiction, right? We're going to resolve the contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi and the second writer, which was Tana. We didn't know, but we didn't have a name for who said that writer, but it was just a writer. Lokasha, how do we resolve it? Ha mima'ai imo, ha bata de'it yalid. What's the difference? Hamimai Ito. This one is from 58b4. This one is from his mother's stomach. And this one, Bata de Idlalid, is after he was born. What's the answer, therefore? The answer for this?
It's worse when you get it afterwards.
Explain. Which one is what? What is what?
Before you're born.
Yeah.
In the first case, then you can say the Mishaneh HaBriyot.
If you have what?
If you get freckles. You have freckles from inside your mother.
Right, you were born with them.
Born with them. And the other one, it's more dangerous when you get them after you're born.
Right.
It's like if you're born, it's something hereditary.
Nahon.
And the other ones are things that you get from being in the sun too much, dangerous.
Yeah, the second one seems to be
threatening.
You caught a disease. You caught something. Yeah. The first one, you were born with it. Oh, that's how your makeup, that's your...
That's how you're made.
I mean...
But if you get suddenly out of the blue spots all over you, that's not a good sign.
The guys would hang around on the beach all day trying to get sun and tan, and they get dangerous freckles on their body.
Melanomas.
Yeah, cancers.
So maybe that's what they...
The other thing is that...
Could be.
The first category are... relatively normal, and the second category are more severe in that they affect your daily life, such as blindness in both eyes, amputation,
But the Carbolic one is always still worrying me. The one with the hair that's just not going in place. I mean, Yoffi, maybe I'm missing something in the translation.
They need to read the Garden of Honor.
Yes. They have to say, Bruch Dad Emet. Tell my daughter that. Next time you wake up.
I'm so glad my daughters don't know about that.
Carbolic.
Pituy is actually fatodis, to seduce.
Okay.
So
Harosh. Yeah, here it says Harosh, not the hair. So it might be a head. It may be more like a mental issue.
Pituy Harosh.
I mean, it's not according to translation here. It says people whose hair is matted.
Pituy Harosh.
But let's see the Rashi.
Has something.
Where he quotes Rashi in the footnote. Do you look at the Rashi?
Here it is, between towards the top of the page.
Shesa'aro kenimta kol sa'aro davuk zebaze. All his hair is glued one to another. Paltadir, well, that was, it's called paltadir, but it's called kolbolet, if you're his hair's glued together. But can't give him an issue to have a shower. But obviously it's some ailment. It's some ailment that maybe comes that you see in the hair.
Plated.
Batted.
Maybe.
Plated. Anyway, Tov, it's not clear to us, but we get the understanding from the rest of the brayta. Okay. So let's just so the end of this proof, we just had the argument between Rav Shishur ben Levi and this second braita, right? We said it's not kasha, one is congenital and the other is after you're born, but you get it. Right? So then the Gemara closes by saying the daika nami. Daika means dafka, or daika you can get it from the word, you can get it from the diuk, from the language, the grammatical reading of the brayta. How? To katane, because it teaches dumya de kite. It teaches that it's like a kite, like an amputee. Shmamina. Learn from here. What's he adding there? What's
he was born with a leg, and later after he was born, something happened to him.
So they're saying that the list in the second list teaches, by the fact it teaches you an amputee, comes to teach you that they're dafka, things which happen after. They're not stuff that you're born with. And you can learn that out from the brayter itself. Shema Amina. Okay. Yofi. Next, Tanu Rabbanan. It was taught in a brayter. Haro'eh pil. Kof, the kifof. If you see a pill, an elephant, a kof, a monkey, or a kipof. Kipof is an owl, apparently. I don't know that word, but perhaps an owl. This bird has cheeks which resemble those of the person. That's an owl? I don't know. Apparently so. I don't know many birds and what their cheeks look like. But apparently, if you look for an animal...
Owls have a face like a person. What in other birds, like a flat face or
no? You have something like a barn owl or a white owl, snow owl.
Owl, owl, owl. Okay. Omer, so what do you see if you see one of those animals? You say also this, apparently, you see this brocha, Baruch B'Shenet Abriot. Apparently, there is a connection. According to this footnote, because of their strange appearance. Or, in another way, because they look like people. Right? We said that this owl has cheeks like a person. A monkey we can see is like a person, to some extent. An elephant, I don't know. I'm not so clear that an elephant looks like a person. Maybe I'm not looking at them right. I'm looking at the wrong end. I don't know. But the top, that one's not so clear to me.
There's a midrash that says that Midal Bavel, people... changed into elephants and monkeys.
Oh yeah.
So that's what it could mean by Mishonet Abriot, the Briot. But
very
I didn't
nice.
Know that they
nice.
Were also changed into
owls.
Wow. Kind of owls.
We're finishing up Rachos.
Owls are supposed to be very wise.
Rav Jor's class that stopped with five daf to go before the end of the Masechet.
What about Sanhedrin?
We're going to come back to it, Be'ezrat Hashem.
They're still waiting for
this. So we're now learning about elephants and monkeys.
Okay.
Oh, Mishanel. Eliezer. Okay. Let's just see if Rashi says anything about that.
Did he have a tree?
No.
Walter. Ow.
Walter.
That's a Valtier?
Yeah.
There you go. Woman's giving us a Valtier. Ow.
No, the first is in the night.
Ow. That's a Valtier. So there you go. We're learning some German. The Yeshla Listot, the Lechayim Kadab. Listot. I don't know what Listot is.
What lesson?
Listot. Chew.
Maybe jaws.
Ah, listot ulachayim, right, and it's jaws, cheeks, like a man.
Okay.
Tov. Okay. Your feet.
Yeah, so that's what he means.
That's what he might say, like a man, like a man.
Yeah. There's something.
Next time you see an elephant, a monkey, or an owl, you can say the bracha. Baruch b'shene et habriot.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Baruch Hashem. Ra'a b'riot tobot. If you saw beautiful creatures, that means people or animals. Ve'ilanot tobot. All beautiful trees. Omer, you can say the bracha. Baruch shekacha lo be'olamo. Blessed are you. Kacha. That you have stuff like this in your world. It's not such a... It sounds like a very kind of vague blessing, right? Shekacha lo ba'olamo. Kacha. Kacha is very, very simple. Shekacha lo ba'olamo. Right? We're not making a big deal out of it. We're not saying how amazing it is that you have beautiful creatures. Why? Because I think we're not placing such emphasis on beauty here. But wow. Like, as if we're giving beauty some power. Some, right? We're recognizing it the same way we're recognizing that he has creatures that are different, he has creatures that work, but we're not emphasizing it in the brocha that there's anything special, like this is better than something else. It's not better, we're just recognizing that that's what it is. Kachalo balomo, this is how you worship. Okay, next. Al hazikin. If you see zikin, now we're going to work out what are these zikin. Where I was going to tell us. My Zikin. What are Zikin? Amar Shmuel. Kochavia to Shabbat. Well, there we go. It's a Kochavia to Shabbat. How does that help us? What's that mean?
Shabbat.
So, Kochava, a star, to Shabbat. What's a Shabbat? It's a staff. It's like a stick. So, what's a Kochava that's like a star that's like it's a shooting star?
A comet?
A comet is different than a shooting star.
A shooting star is a meteorite falling through the atmosphere, yeah, causing friction.
Exactly. So that's the difference. One is a piece of rock that hurtles towards the earth and gets burned up in the earth's atmosphere, and as it gets burnt up, it goes on fire, and it flames until it disappears because it's on fire, right? And the second one is just something that goes past the earth, doesn't hit us, like a comet, which just goes past and it just reflects the sunlight like any other space body.
There's a difference between a comet and a meteor in that a comet emits a tail when it gets closer to the sun.
And a meteor doesn't?
And a meteorite doesn't because it's a solid rock.
Yeah. Tov. Okay. So here, so we have a machloket of Rashi Rambam. Rashi seems to be referring to a meteor, whereas Rambam's description appears to match that of the comet. And the following passage says that the art scroll is easier to understand if we refer to a comet. Why? Because a comet has a tail, like Rabbi Yaakov's teaching us, and therefore this shavit is the line that it produces, if you like, I guess the tail. Top. Anyway, so that's a zikin. What do we say on a zikin? We say shekocho gvurotom me'alei olam. Zikin is like when we see thunder, when we kocho gvurotom me'alei olam. Okay, it's one of the heavenly body things that we say. Top. Next, amashmu nehiminli shvilei tishmaya. Nehiminli, it's clear to me shvilei tishmaya, the paths in the heaven. The paths in the heaven are very clear to me. Like what? Kashvilei tineharadea, like the paths of Neharadea. Right? I understand the heavenly paths like I understand the paths of my hometown. Right? Lavar, except for Mikochava de Shavit, apart from the path of the Kochava Shavit, apart from the comet. Right? I can tell you, right, what's a pshat? The pshat is I can tell you where the paths of all the stars. Right? If you look at the heavens, the constellations appear to move. As the earth moves, the constellations move, the galaxies move, they move around the globe, depending on the time of year. And he knew where it's going to be. In the summer, the North Star's over there. In the winter, it's going to move over to that place. He knows the path of all the stars, the way they move through the heavens. Just like he knows the paths in his hometown. But he doesn't understand the path of the comet. Why? Because they come out of nowhere and they go to who knows where they're going. Maybe on Pshatis. He doesn't know where it's going. I don't know where it's going to go. It's going to appear here. It's going to end up over there. Who knows?
Even Pshat, today.
It means deeper things, obviously.
But even right? Today, we have no idea where comets are coming from. There's a major debate.
Right, about where they're going to. And
where they're going
gonna,
to, what they're made of.
Where they're going to hit us, where they're going
to... there are two major theories, and they've already done one's return mission, trying to find out what it's made of, and things are getting to be very weird.
Yof. Okay, so he doesn't know the kochav ha'shavit, he doesn't know the comet. D'lo yadana mahu nihu. D'lo yadana mahai nihu, because of which I don't know anything. I don't know anything about it. Ugamire de la ava kisla. Ugamire, but it is known. De la ava kisla, that it does not pass through kisla. What's kisla? So kisla is apparently a constellation called Kessel.
Without Ksiel.
Ksiel.
The constellation of Ksiel?
Yeah, apparently. Which apparently gets mentioned in Amos and Eof. The E, and if you want to have your conspiracy theory or your doomsday theory, E avar kisla, if it did pass through kisla, charav alma, it would destroy the world. Yofi, so you should call up NASA and say, check that the comet is not passing through Kessel, otherwise we'll have to make a new disaster movie.
Oh, don't worry. NASA's bankrupt.
But wait a minute.
And they probably already made the movie.
Yofi. That's right. The people who made the movie are making more money than NASA is. But heck! That's why they made that. NASA actually started going to movie making. They do better. Heck! They think they could actually. That's how they made put the man on the moon. They just made a movie and told people they go. Anyway, that's a different thing. Heck ha chazina da'ava. Wait a minute. Vaha. Behold, wait a minute. Ka chazina, we have seen da'ava, that it did pass through Kassil. Wait a minute. Sequel. It did. What's about it? What's the answer? Zivei hu da'ava. Zivei, ziv, the glow. Hu da'ava is what passed through. Right? It looked like it was passing through. It was passing nearby. It was passing in front of it. It was passing. But it did actually pass through it. Right? But it looked like it passed through itself. It didn't really. So, next. Rav Huna bered Rav Yeshua Amar. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said, Vilon, the curtain. No, Vilon hu de Mikra. When the curtain is torn, what's the Vilon? So here it means the curtain of the sky. It's called the Vilon. And you can see the light of the Rakia. So when the Vilon is torn, whatever that means, you can see the light of the Rakia. That means. Right? So as we learned in Chagiga, there are seven different firmaments. Firmaments? Heavens. The innermost one is called Vilon. And the one above it is called Rakia. So when Rakia tears, you can see into Vilon. When Vilon tears, you can see Rakia. Sorry.
Vilon is what? What did you say about Vilon?
Vilon is...
No, so when Vilon is something, you said?
When Vilon is torn, you can see the Rakia.
Torn, Mikra. The Mikra, torn.
Yeah. And that's what he says this Zikin is. Rav Huna apparently is explaining what the word Zikin is. It's a different view. The first opinion we said Shmuel. Shmuel says Zikin is the shooting star, is the comet. And now we're seeing Rav Huna says no, it's a spiritual phenomenon of the tearing of the Vilon until you can see the Rakia. That's what's going on when you see that light shoot across the sky. It's a tear in the Vilon.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Ashi says, Kochavahu da'akar b'ha'gisa de'kisla. It is when a star is removed from one side of Kisil. Kochavahu, it's a star da'akar that is uprooted b'ha'gisa from one side to Kisila, one side of Kisil. V'chazei le'chavrei be'hach gisa u'be'it. Then another one, its friend, from the other side, sees it and becomes afraid. Right? And it looks like a star has passed through Kisil. What's happening here? I don't know. So this is another example of what's happening with this Zikin. When you see this light streak across the sky, so maybe the other opinion is one star's been uprooted from its place and the other star sees it, becomes afraid, and it looks like the star has passed through Kisil. Okay, Shmuel Rame. Shmuel compared the following two verses. Kitiv, it's written in one place in Eov. Oseh ash kisil v'chima. He makes ash, kisil, and kima. What does that mean? These are the names of three constellations. Ukitiv, and it's written elsewhere in Amos. Oseh chima ukisil. He makes kima kisil, but no mention of ash. And he switches the two names around. Hakate said, how is this so? Ilema ilmale chuma shel kisil. If it were not for the heat of kisil, lo nitkayem olam mitnei sina shel kima. The world couldn't exist, couldn't survive because of the cold of kima. The ilmale sina shel kima, and if it weren't for the cold of the kima, Lonit kayem olam, the world couldn't exist. Mipnei chuma shel kisil, because of the heat of kisil. So these are two constellations which govern the temperature of the world, not like the ozone layer, right? These are the real global warming and global cooling, right? Of two constellations called kima and kisil. Kima is cold and kisil is hot, and one of them offsets the other. And therefore, the two pasukim come to teach us that if you didn't have both, we'd either get burned to a crisp or freeze to something that's frozen.
Close freezer to kasof.
Right? We're going to see how it's hot. Ugamire, and we learned through tradition. Ilav uksa da'akrava. If the tail of the scorpion, the manach benahar dinor, was not ilav uksa da'akrava, if it was not that the tail of the scorpion was placed in nahar dinor, right, the stream of fire, koman dahava turikale akrava lo havachai, anyone bitten by a scorpion would not, it would be too much. So what's going on here? So the footnote says that the bite of the scorpion, the sting of the scorpion, its power, its danger comes from cold, not from heat. Right? You might have thought that the sting of the scorpion is heat. So the Gemara is teaching that teaches elsewhere in Avodah Zarah that the sting of the scorpion is dangerous because of its coldness. Right? We learn that from the fact that heat cures it, whereas cold aggravates it even worse. You should put heat on a scorpion bite, a scorpion sting, apparently. Therefore, what we're learning here is that the cold of the kima, if the cold of the kima was not diminished by the proximity to the chima, the fire, then the scorpion's bite would be too powerful from the cold that it would cause death. But because of the heat of the chima, which keeps at bay the cold of the kima, then that tempers the power of the scorpion's bite.
What happened to the ash?